Good morning again. So as Chick mentioned, today is going to be our last day in Galatians. We're going to be finishing up our series, Christ Alone, that we've been in for the last few months. And today we're going to be looking at chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. These last eight verses are kind of a last encouragement, exhortation, challenge, kind of all rolled up in one from Paul to his readers in Galatia. The series theme all along has been Christ alone, you know, grace alone, faith alone. And, we've been talking about that it's Christ and Christ alone, that's it. You know, nothing more, nothing less. We can't add anything to Christ for salvation. It's only through his work on the cross and his grace and faith in that we are able to have a relationship with him. And we've been looking at this, it's kind of two separate groups of people, the Judaizers throughout all of Galatians and the people of Galatia, and how they relate to each other, and how Paul's trying to encourage them, the Galatians, to fall back onto the things that he taught them and the things of Christ, and not Christ plus this message that the Judaizers were trying to give. today we're going to talk about Christ alone, also in a different light. As I read these last eight verses, I'm going to be open with you today. God really moved me and challenged me in my own life, and I'm going to share a little bit about that later today. What the biggest, I guess the catch word that came from these last eight verses for me is this notion of commitment. Commitment. You know, where do I put my commitment in my life? Do I put it in Christ? Do I put it in myself? Do I put it in other people? You know, and oftentimes our choices that we make will show us where our priorities lie, will show us where our commitments lie, the choices that we make day in and day out. So these are a few things that God's been putting on my heart and really kind of smacked me in the face through preparing for this, and I didn't really want to write this message because it was just, God was really just on me about this. So I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys a little bit today in hopes that you can join with me in this challenge of what commitment looks like in our lives. So we'll start here. Paul draws a last line in the sand here between two sets of people, those who talk the talk and those who walk the walk. You've probably heard that saying before. So he draws this line between those who talk the talk and those who walk the walk. So we already talked about the catchword of the day, this word commitment. So I want to throw this question out to you guys. What things in life take commitment? Marriage? That's my first one that I have. Sports take commitment. Work takes commitment. Absolutely. Other things I have, friendships, basically all types of relationships take commitment. School, job. How about this? Losing weight, dieting, that takes commitment. Exercising, working out, that takes commitment. And then probably the biggest one is our faith. Our walk with Christ takes commitment. And that's kind of what we'll be talking about throughout the rest of this day. So besides commitment, and it may be a synonym to this, but what do all of these things have in common? See if you can catch what I'm thinking here. Probably not, because my brain's weird sometimes. I'll tell you. What these things have in common is it takes hard work. It takes action. You actually have to do. Commitment is action. Commitment takes hard work to be committed to something. Because if you say you're committed to something, but you don't do the work to stay committed, you're really not committed to it. You just desire to be committed to it. It's just a want to be committed to it. And wanting something is all well and good, but commitment takes action towards what you want. So we're going to see throughout these last few verses now a little bit of how Paul kind of brings this out, in my opinion, at least to what the Lord showed me. So read with me here, Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 11. It says this, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? Amen. Amen. "Through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." We sang about that this morning. "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no man cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters." Amen. So, we're going to break this down a little bit, kind of go a little verse by verse for a little bit, and see what we can learn about commitment through this. So, verse 11, it's an interesting verse to me. I wondered why Paul threw it in there. He says, "See what large letters I use as I write this to you with my own hand." A couple things. First, some would suggest that this notion of writing with big letters would mean there's a theory that Paul had significant eye trouble, significant eye disease. So writing with such big letters because he may not be able to see what he's writing, some suggest is proof positive of that. Others suggest that these big letters were simply just to bring extra emphasis to his words in this moment. So Paul takes the pen from his scribe and starts writing this last section by himself in his own handwriting. So to me, even to the Galatians, that would seem like maybe I should pay attention to this just a little bit more extra. Maybe I was just glossing over everything else that was read or that I was reading or that I was hearing, but man, Paul took the pen and started writing this by himself. Maybe I should, you know, straighten up a bit and listen a little bit more intently. I'll ask it this way. What would be more emphatic to those of you who have a job? A message handed to you by a secretary or the boss himself personally coming to your desk and talking to you face to face? Yes. How about all of you are sons and daughters of some sort? Some of you probably have siblings. How about this? A sibling telling you that mom and dad wanted you because you were in trouble, or mom and dad coming straight to your face and saying, "You're in trouble." What would be more impactful? Mom and dad. So this is what we have here. Paul taking it upon himself to note the extra importance of what he's about to write in these following verses. So it seems like kind of just a throwaway verse really has a lot of impact to the rest of what Paul's going to write. Because he's saying, just listen. Just listen a little bit more closely. I'm writing this to you with my own hand. So then that brings us to verses 12 and 13, which I'm going to clump together. So there's a phrase here. It says, "Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh." Here again, as he's been talking about through this whole book, Paul's referencing these Judaizers that are coming to the Galatians wanting the Gentile Christians here in Galatia to have to follow Jewish tradition and law from the Old Testament. And basically saying, if you don't do this, you're not a true follower. You're not a true believer. So it's this whole notion, as we've been saying, of Christ plus for salvation, for righteousness. And this is what Paul's been trying to say. No. And then there's another phrase in verse 12. It says that they this avoid persecution for the cross of Christ. This is so interesting. You know, there's many times in life where we choose, or at least I should say I choose sometimes to do something because I want to take the path of least resistance, right? I don't want to take a strong stance on something because I don't want to be the person that everybody looks at and goes, oh, you're that crazy dude. Or, oh, you believe that? You know, I'm going to jump all over you and have 1,700 questions for you to answer, and when you slip up once, then I'm just going to walk away and say, you know what you're talking about. You know, so sometimes that allows us to kind of step away from the limelight or step away from the strong stance that we know would be defending what we believe in. You know, so what Paul's saying here is these Judaizers, they want nothing of that. They're almost like people pleasers. All they want to do is make sure, you know, people like them, because they don't want to take any strong stance on anything. They don't want to get persecuted for the cross of Christ. So they're saying, no, just follow the old law, be circumcised, then you'll be good, then you'll be like us. But they don't truly understand their own law that they're trying to follow, which we've talked about a couple weeks ago, the last time I taught. So it's they're trying to avoid this persecution, which we all know that Paul never really avoided, the persecution for the cross of Christ, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So we move to verse 13. It says, not even those who are circumcised follow the law. We just talked about this. This is kind of just a hollow gesture, traditional thing for the Judaizers, and they don't really truly know exactly the depths of why this law was truly created. And the thing about it is there's no real personal commitment needed. There's nothing to stand for. It's just something to do and then say, look at me, I did this. I'm awesome, I'm righteous. Not really. There's no deeper understanding. And then it says that they may boast. There's no altruistic motive behind this urge for the Galatians to be circumcised. It's actually the opposite to the Judaizers. They want to treat the Galatians like they're trophies. They say, hey, look what we did. We got them to be circumcised like us. We're awesome. Glory to us. No, not glory to us. Glory to God. But that's the downfall, the pitfall that the Galatians would fall into, and that's what Paul is trying to encourage them not to do. He's trying to encourage them to stay committed to Christ and to the work of the cross that they know is grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. So let me move to verse 14, which is kind of a bit of a turning point in the passage, and Ron shared this at the beginning of the service. It says, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. I mean, this is what this whole series has been predicated on, that we've been talking about for the last few months, is Christ alone and nothing else. He is all that matters. He is all that we need. And it's through the cross that we are able to get there, that shed blood. And Christ is the only thing, the only person worth boasting about, especially what he did on that cross, which is what we're going to celebrate and remember a little bit later today with communion. And then Paul says this thing, he said, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Paul's saying, listen, I don't want to do the things of the world. I don't want to be of the world. I'm in the world, but I don't want to be of the world. The world is dead to me. Christ is what matters. And in the same light, because I believe in Christ, I am dead to the world because they don't understand. They persecute, but they don't understand. They persecute because they don't understand. So I am dead to the world as well, and that's where he wants to be. And because he realizes then that it's all about Christ. Christ is all that matters. And then we're going to end here, verse 15, and then I'm going to camp on verse 17 in a few minutes. So verse 15 says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. What counts is the new creation. Again, Paul's just driving home. Christ is all that matters. And when you believe in the work of Christ and what he did on the cross, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. See, we are made new in Christ. The work that he did on the cross is not for naught. He did that for you and for me. Took our sins so that we can be made new, reconciled to God, and we can be new creations that are not of this world, that give glory to God. And he's saying here, that is the only thing that matters. Circumcised, uncircumcised, don't even worry about that anymore. What matters is the new creation. What matters is what Christ can do for you. What matters is what Christ has already done for you. And he's reminding these Galatians, it's what he has already done is what matters. The new creation is what matters. Don't worry about all this circumcision talk. That means nothing. Christ is what matters. Again, commitment isn't commitment without action. Christ is what matters. And stand for him. Boast in Christ. Don't live of this world. Give glory to God. And the Judaizers was doing the exact opposite. They were looking for glory for themselves. So, what now? Earlier, we talked about these two separate groups of people. We talked about those who talk the talk and those who walk the walk. The talkers are the Judaizers, those who talk the talk. They'll give you the lip service. They won't really stand for anything, and they just want you to do things for your salvation. The walkers are what Paul's trying to encourage the Galatians to do. It's Christ alone, and once you are the new creation, that is all that matters, and then live for Christ. That is where the hard work then comes in to play. Live your life for Christ, whatever that means. Stand for him and boast about him. Like I told you before, I was really challenged with truly thinking about which group of people I regularly tend to fall into in my life, the talkers or the walkers. See, the Judaizers were consistently in full-on talker mode. We saw that in verses 12 and 13, that for the Judaizers, circumcision was only a tradition to be followed without real deeper knowledge and meaning of it to the commitment that you really are taking with that. They didn't understand that. And that excused them from the persecution that came from true followers of Christ. So now Paul, we look at him, and we see that Paul was consistently in full-on walker mode, I call it, full-on walker mode. So the Judaizers were on full-on talker mode, and Jesus too, we'll get to him in a second. Paul was in full-on walker mode. Listen to what it says in verse 17. It says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. Here's the key sentence. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. I didn't get what that meant at first. When I read that, I was like, that's weird. What's he trying to say here? So I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I was like, all right, God. And then I was thinking about it. So I grabbed my commentary that I usually use, and it was suggested that, as we know, throughout his life, Paul was persecuted for Christ in many different ways. Before Paul was Paul, he was the one doing the persecution. Right, and here's the funny way that God has of dealing with you sometimes, what he dealt with Paul. Before Paul was Paul, when he was Saul, he did the persecutions, he did the executions, he did the beatings. And then God took a hold of him. He became Paul, and now he started to be persecuted for Christ, for his name. And because he endured the beatings, the floggings, the stonings, the prison, he said, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And wow, does that now take on a whole different meaning? Paul views these marks as badges of honor. How crazy is that? Persecution as a badge of honor, because he knows that that means that he's walking for God. He's walking the walk. He's saying, I'm committed to God. I'm committed to him and his message. And because of that, people aren't going to like that because they don't understand. So they're going to attack what they don't understand. And quite literally, they attacked Paul. Physically, emotionally, and he bore those marks on his body. This is a stark contrast, again, from the Judaizers who just talk it. Their mark was non-committal, the circumcision. They didn't understand, they didn't know, and they weren't persecuted for it. But Paul's marks were for Christ's sake, which indicated a total committed relationship with Jesus. Therefore, much persecution, as it's said here in verse 17. I want to flip to another verse in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. It says this in verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. It's all about Christ. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Through Christ and Christ alone. There's Paul saying again, I delight in these things because I know that it is for Christ. But Paul is committed. And this is where God just kind of opened my brain and said, where are you at, Andrew? Are you fully committed to me? Day in, day out? Are you on full-on walker mode? Or do you live in full-on talker mode most of the time? But as Paul's saying here, you know, this is Christ and Christ alone. We come to this table here, this communion table, which is all about remembering what Christ did for us on the cross. Now, if you want to talk about someone who was 100% all the time in full-on commitment walker mode, look no further than the person of Jesus. Look no further than the person of Jesus. Because he went as far as death for me, for you. As far as death. He took the beatings. He took the floggings. He took the persecution. He took the mocking. He took his cross and carried it to the hill. And then his marks, his hands and his feet, all for you and for me, taking the sin, past, present, future, so that we may one day be whole again with God, be reconciled to God. That is what this table means. I want to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to take communion at this time. And we're going to hand out the elements, and then I'm going to read from Matthew 26, and then we'll take it together.